from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. I soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know where. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better.
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, we have, it's Fish on Friday on Tuesday. So we'll do that in the second hour. Chris Harrington is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock to talk about Zach Edey's very impressive, thrilling, let's be honest, thrilling debut. So that is the order of appearance. Chris Harrington, 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, it'll be a little bit of a different Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Typically, I'm in studio, and he is on the phone from Washington, D.C. He is our man in Washington, D.C. Today, he is up here in the cabin with me, and so we are going to have a small experiment, and we are going to be in the room together talking on a single microphone. It has been suggested by some that by the end of this appearance, we will be on the floor wrestling for the single microphone as much as we each seem to love it. So, but we'll see. That's in the second hour. Again, Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, after that. Jeffrey, I think I have to ask you, you know, I don't want to get carried away, but if you're going to rank Zach's, you know, Grizzly Zach's, we got Zach Edey, we got Zach Kleiman, and we got Zach Randolph. Is it too early? Would it be precipitous to move Zach Edey to the top of the list after last night's, let's be honest, game-tying tip to send it into OT?
I think it's a little early for that. I mean, I know we can be prisoners of the moment, but I think in terms of everything you wanted to see out of a summer league game, except I guess maybe a win, like I felt like that game kind of gave you everything.
The win is totally inconsequential, obviously. They could have gotten him the ball down the stretch a little bit, and maybe that would have helped. The win is totally inconsequential, but it was the official position of the Jeff Calkins Show well before the draft that Zach Edey at 9 would be a perfectly fine and wonderful pick. And we both endorsed it, despite the great skepticism. Oh, and particularly what you heard was, oh, at 9? No, wouldn't be a value at 9. At 16, sure. We are, of course, overreacting wildly to last night's game. That was always a foolish line of thinking, that 16 would be fine, but the same player at 9 would be a reach. And so it was, I think, in the context of Summer League, highly anticipated. And given what we saw, which we'll go over here in a moment for Zach Edey and for the rest of the Summer Grizz, it was everything you could want. Can you, Jeffrey, think about, in terms of Grizzlies players making debuts, anticipation, excitement, intrigue, maybe is a better word. Like, obviously, Zach Edey doesn't come close and is not in the same galaxy as the intrigue and excitement over the debut of Ja Morant, right? It's not even close. But I would ask you this. In terms of other players that we were really interested to see, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just not remembering. I don't remember Zaire Williams, mania, or even this level of intrigue over Zaire Williams. I don't remember it for Jake LaRavia or for David Roddy. I only vaguely remember it for Jaren Jackson Jr. He did come out in that first game and hit all those threes.
Right.
Remember
that? Jaren was a little bit like this. Jaren was a different situation in the sense that there wasn't the intrigue, but once he had that first performance, everybody was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and Jaren, I mean, obviously, the franchise was in a different place then.
Correct.
And he was a much higher, he was expected to be a tent pole for this franchise going forward. There, the Grizzlies were trying to draft a franchise type guy. Here, they're just trying to draft a piece.
Yes.
So the context was very different. But I actually think you're right. If you're trying to just measure on a scale of euphoria, anticipation, overreaction, all of that during Summer League to a performance or a player, I think this morning and last night feels a lot like that, Jaren.
Yeah.
Thing, obviously for different reasons. Zach Edey wasn't banging in threes last night, but in the sense of, oh my God, now I see it. Now, there was in fact skepticism on many quarters about the pick of Jaren Jackson Jr., just like there was skepticism about the pick of Zach Edey. Not rampant, but because, weirdly enough, for totally different reasons, Jaren Jackson Jr. wasn't productive in college relative to his tools, yep. Right? When you drafted Jaren, you drafted, he's got all the pieces. Like, you look at him, he can do all the things to be an impact player, and he's going to take a few years, right?
Yes, absolutely.
With Zach Edey, it's just the opposite. With Zach Edey, it's like wildly productive in college, but does he have the tools that will translate to the NBA, the specific set of skills and tools that will translate to the NBA? But I do think this moment is somewhat reminiscent, just in terms of 1 out of 10 excitement level and an intrigue from the fan base. This is somewhat similar to that moment from Jaren several years ago. And I'm with you. I think you saw everything you wanted to see from Zach Edey and more. I think it was honestly, for various reasons, even better than I expected, maybe better than I expected. It certainly lived up to or exceeded all expectations.
Yeah, yes, I totally agree. I think the moment that might have put it over the top is, when it was starting to get chippy and that game got chippy, when he throws the shoulder, was it George? I can't remember.
I think it was Sensabaugh.
Yes, you're right.
The hard foul on Moravia inspired it. Right?
Correct. And he kind of gave him the shoulder and said, are we going to do this, S? And I think that was the moment that everybody's like, I love this guy.
Yeah, it was. It was. If you're looking for, first, just the raw numbers. So 14 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. The points, again, he wasn't fed. In a sense, it was a little bit of a sense of this is how it's going to be in the NBA for Zach Edey.
Yeah, that was my immediate reaction, because I know there were a lot of people that were upset about not getting him the ball. I was curious what was going to be the mindset from the Grizzlies with Zach. Was it going to be, hey, this is summer league, just go play? Or is it going to be, hey, we'd like to see you work on doing the things that we need you to do? And I felt like it was much more of the latter.
Yeah, no, it was. And honestly, you're going up against a young veteran now in Walker Kessler. Like, it's not just dominating some schlump.
I think that helped with the intrigue, right? Because the fact that it was a legitimate, you know, NBA matchup.
Right. So you got the, you know, yes, you didn't get a unlike with Kante George, you got a 30-point night.
Yeah.
You didn't get a 30-point night from Zach Edey, but we didn't care.
Right.
Because that wasn't, of all the things that you wondered about, how is this going to translate? His ability to score around the rim is not one of the things we wondered about. So we didn't need any evidence that, oh, yeah, now I see how this is going to work, because we knew that part ultimately will work. If you get him the ball down low, he will score. And so that part, we didn't need to see anything. So what did we see? Among the things we saw, first of all, setting screens, he is just going to be a monster.
He's so big.
The way that he is going to unlock Ja is, I mean, it's like, I mean, he's much bigger than Steven Adams, who was big.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, my wife was asking me, she's like, could you imagine being that big? And I was like, no. I mean, no, I can't.
So, I mean, he's a monster, and, like, he's just going to set these brick wall screens for Ja Morant. And you can 100% totally see that translating.
One of my favorite moments was in the first quarter after he had set a couple, watching the Utah defenders kind of like try to like keep their head on a swivel, like, where is he? And
right,
try to just avoid, like, it was like running around trying to avoid a screen.
So there was that. There was the block, 4 blocks, including, you know, I mean, we talked about this, that for as monstrous as he is, his block rate in college was not, you know, it was not Donovan Clingan. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
Right. And the Grizzlies said from the outset,
Clingan also had better defenders around him as well.
Yeah, and they said from the outset, yeah, that's partly because he was asked to not foul out. Now, mind you, this is summer league. You don't foul, you get 10.
Yes.
So that wasn't a concern, but it's not going to be a concern for him anyway. And I thought you saw his impact on the defensive end immediately. And you put him out there with Jaren? Come on, man, seriously? Like, it's going to be... And then you throw Marcus Smart out there, like, it's going to be or Vince Williams. Like,
yeah.
You can see that it's going to be a problem for teams. Again, you know, this isn't Luka they were going up against. So, but still, I thought that was super impressive. There was the enforcer moment, his scrappiness, you know, the dunk over Kessler, talking some smack, like he was... he's got some grizzly in him.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Which people will absolutely love. He's diving on the ball for a diving on the floor for a loose ball. That was fun. And then he had the tip at the end. And the tip at the end, by the way, Drew Hill, I think he's the only Memphis media member out there, unaffiliated Memphis media who's out there. And so he had a great story, which I would urge you to read at the Daily Memphian. Where he had some great quotes that I want to go over in a bit from Jason March. But so, you know, you need the tip in to tie. And Cam Spencer goes up and reminds Edey that there's no time for anything but a tip.
Yep.
And Edey said later that he hadn't quite registered that. So you see the savvy veteran Cam Spencer coming through, and it was a perfect miss. It was an absolutely perfectly missed free throw by LaRavia, and he gets the tip, and you're like, oh my God, the Zach Edey. We said there was not going to be a Zach Edey era because it's the Ja Morant era. But briefly last night, it felt like the Zach Edey era. Then they go into OT. You got the target score system, and they obviously, they had some chances. Did not get the ball to Edey. Had some chances, lose 97-95. Some didn't look inept as a passer either. And I thought defensively, you know, that's the big question, obviously. And that will not be answered, certainly. Nothing will be answered in one night. But
I'm not sure that will be answered in Summer League.
No, it won't be answered in Summer League. I think that's right. Like, let's see how it holds up against the best players in the world.
Yeah.
But did he look to you like a guy who couldn't move? He did not to me.
No, I mean, I think that was kind of everyone's takeaway is, man, this guy moves pretty well for a guy that
size. Pretty well for a guy that big, yeah. I thought, you know, and so you get him, yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he's unlocking a fast break with a block. I just thought it was fun. I mean, it was fun.
It was fun to have, because in a season that was just, let's be real, so miserable and just not fun, it was nice to kind of have a moment where the stakes.
You're right. We've turned the corner.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe maybe that's kind of how we'll view it as, hey, that night was kind of what reminded us this can be fun again.
I think you're right. It may have been the draft where you turned the corner, but this, it feels like now we're just not looking ahead. You know, we're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's imagining Zach Edey, how he's going to fit. Hope and promise and excitement has been returned to the franchise. And so that was a lot of fun. In terms of, we'll get to the other players here in a minute, but I'm over at Drew's story. Again, I don't think anyone else has this, so I'd urge you to read the Daily Memphian. Jason March, which is your favorite quote here? There's several highly quotable moments from Jason March, the Summer League coach, asked if it's safe to assume, having witnessed what we just witnessed, that Zach Edey would fit in with the Grizzlies. Jason March says, "I'm going to keep my answer short on that one. Yes." That's a good quote.
Agreed.
And I do think, I mean, couldn't you watching it last night, couldn't you just see the fit? Just imagine, listen, Scottie Pippen Jr. was great, was really good last night, honestly. But what you picture is all the same things, but with Ja doing them, right? Or we all, instead of LaRavia coming off the screen with Desmond Bane, you know, and I think you can 100% see the fit. Here's a defensively, this is what he said. He said, everybody asks if he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a pretty good player. Let's not forget that. He was great calling the coverages. He played in between both guys. He moved his feet really well. He had great rim protection. And then he says this, I mean, he's 7 foot forever and he knows what he's doing.
That was my favorite one.
Because he's 7 foot forever and he knows what he's doing. He is a plug and play 7 foot forever dude. You were saying?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's one of those ones where sometimes when you have a guy like Edey that is not a perfect basketball player, like, let's be clear on that. He's not. I'm not trying to sell him as a perfect basketball player. But when you have 4 years of college, it almost creates a situation where you get overanalyzed. I think people did this with Michael Penix Jr., where he had so much film out there that people just started nitpicking. And yes, there are some things to be concerned about. Like, are we sure he's going to be on the floor in the fourth quarter of a playoff game? No. But at the same time, it somehow got morphed into the guy can't play. And I'm very much with Jason March there. It's like, it's not like this guy was a bad basketball player.
He's 7 foot forever and he knows what he's doing. I think it is interesting. The context is so different. If he was a Wizard, or an Atlanta Hawk,
yeah,
right? And they had drafted him one or two, which, by the way, let's be clear, 20 years ago, they would have. You know, like 20 years ago, the two-time college player of the year before centers became fell out of fashion, or that type of center fell out of fashion in the league, this is a guy who would have been the number one pick in the draft, right? But had he been the number one or number two pick in this draft on a team that needs everything and that needs superstars, you'd look at last night's performance very differently.
100%.
Because you would be looking for, is he going to be a superstar? Is he going to go? We're not looking at it like that. We're looking at it with, you got Ja, you got Dez, you got Jaren Jackson Jr., you got all the Marcus Smart, you got Vince Williams, you got all these other pieces. How is he going to fit into that context? And so it really does shape entirely the way that we see it. I think if he'd been, if he'd been a Wizards, the number one pick, you'd be saying, I don't know that he was worth the number one pick. You'd be saying the same thing off the exact same performance last night. That's not how we're looking at it. Okay, here's more Jason March, again from Drew Hill's story in the Daily Memphian. What he showed right away is he can move. He's not just a big guy that can't move his feet. He gets up and down the floor fairly well, and he will get better with conditioning and when he gets out of this altitude a little bit. Like I said, he had great rim protection. Now he gets to play on the floor with Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, that's pretty good. And, like, that's pretty damn good. Like, that's the thing. You imagine him and what he did and the space that he takes up and the intimidation factor defensively, and then you throw Jaren out there. It was fun.
It's also, it just makes you realize, like to your entire point, if the Grizzlies had no talent, yes, that's not a guy that I would have wanted them to draft. But that's not the situation we're talking about. The thing that I thought was encouraging about last night is you could, all of the things that you think the Grizzlies might be deficient at, which is, you know, they've not been a particularly great rebounding team without Adams on the floor. Like, you saw it. The guy can rebound. The guy can set screens. The guy is going to fit very nicely with the pieces that you have. And I think that's kind of what led to the excitement is nobody's asking this guy to be the best player on the team. People right. want him to fill in where the Grizzlies are deficient.
And that's the way in which it's very different than the Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes.
scenario when he was
like, they didn't have
he
players.
Was coming in as a guy who were you wanted to be, you know, you wanted him to be a franchise guy. Like, I mean, they're taking him over, you know, they're taking him in the same draft as Luka. And so you're wanting him to be a franchise guy and you're taking him high. And so came in with very different expectations. Mess of a game, by the way, 68 fouls. The game took 2:30, sitting here in the cabin, 2 hours and 30 minutes for that game. All right. If we're given Zach Edey, in the NHL, they do first stars, Jeffrey, they do the three stars of the game. Okay. So if you're going to go purely from a Grizzlies perspective, we're going to call Zach Edey your first star. Who's your second star?
Is it too much to say? What if it was Cam Spencer?
Cam Spencer.
He was the only guy that hit a shot.
Cam Spencer can shoot. Yes. I mean, that's the thing. He's going to hit shots. Cam Spencer can shoot.
The Grizzlies hit seven threes. He had three of them.
Yes.
Without him, the Grizzlies were 4 of 31 from three.
No, it was brutal. It was absolutely. Well, we'll get to the Chief Chucker here in a moment. I thought Scottie Pippen Jr. was really good, and I do think, like, I don't think they need it. Like, obviously, because he's on a two way.
Yeah, there's and by limitations.
The way, Cam Spencer officially did sign his two-way, so now you know it's Scottie Pippen Jr., Trey Jemison, and Cam Spencer on the two-ways. There are limitations on how many games you can play, but 21 points, 5 assists, 3 steals. Like, he was that guy playing irritating defense, you know, like he was, calm down, man, it's summer league. I thought he was really good. I mean, I think we got a real sense of it last year anyway, I think.
Yeah.
That if Derrick Rose is there purely to be a therapist and counselor.
Yeah, a ceremonial player.
Whatever, a teammate, a good teammate and leader. And you're going to need, and you will. Ja's not going to play every game. You're going to need backup. You're going to need a backup point guard. I have confidence in Scottie Pippen Jr., and there was nothing last night that persuaded me otherwise. So he was really good. Cam Spencer, okay, fine. If you want to give it to Cam Spencer for going 3 of 5 from three.
It was just at the point. It was like at that point in the fourth quarter when it's like everybody, it's just brick after brick after brick, and then you finally right. watch a guy that like hits back to back shots. Oh, this is awesome.
Jake LaRavia was pretty good.
Yeah, LaRavia's stat line, I think LaRavia's stat line didn't match the eye test. I thought eye test-wise,
he looked good.
Yes.
Looked confident, smooth, absolutely. He didn't hit threes. You know, what was he, 2 of 8? I think he was 2 of 8 from three.
His best shot last night was either the three that they wiped off because they said the foul was before the shot, or I think it was the missed free throw. Because that missed free throw, you're right,
was a perfect
absolutely perfect missed free throw.
And Cam Spencer with the, you know, reminding Zach Edey, all he has time for is the tip. Jake LaRavia with the, like, brilliantly executed. Like, they were in full, in midseason form with their missed free throw.
Yes.
Offense there. Looking around the rest of the roster, Jalen Wells never really got anything going at all. He was 1 of 9 and was a non-factor. And I don't care. Do you care?
I mean, that to me, that was a classic, hey, buddy, get your feet wet.
Right. I mean, it was what Chris said yesterday. Looking at the summer league, what you take away from it chiefly is if a player is bad and they are a player who should be good because it's not their first rodeo.
Yeah.
Right. So if Jake LaRavia was bad last night, you would have gone, oh, come on, man, this is it. We're done. We're nothing left to see here. If Jake LaRavia doesn't look good in this particular summer league, but Jalen Wells, who was, you know, playing Division II not long ago, who cares, right?
This was not going to be one
tall.
I'm not flagging this yet.
Right. Okay. And the LaRavia was good, looked smooth, I thought. Pippen good,
obviously. He also, LaRavia also played the annoying defense. Like, he's picking up guys full court. Like, yeah.
Right, he was playing the annoying defense. And so then we get to the most problematic performance of the night.
Yep.
And it is funny, the Gigi Jackson euphoria from last year, because it wasn't the only good thing to come out of last year. You know, Vince Williams was really probably a more substantive, better thing because it's a more sure thing. We just feel like we know exactly how Vince Williams is going to fit on this team going forward. And so that may have been the best thing to come out of last year.
I think, though, don't you think it's a lot like the Edey situation where its expectations are kind of baked in? It's not – the Grizzlies don't need Vince Williams to be a star. They need him to play good defense, you know, make the right play. Like, they don't need him to be a superstar.
But out of this ruinous season, there emerged one really fun, unexpected storyline, and that was Gigi Jackson. And Gigi Jackson and his interactions with Shaq, and Gigi Jackson and looking just freaking adorable, and Gigi Jackson putting up massive numbers and being a breath of fresh air and having an impossibly high ceiling, looking like a player who literally could, if he taps into his ceiling, be a superstar. Like, that's what he, you know, there were moments you could, last year, you're like, you know what? That could be a star in the making. And so if anyone ever said anything even slightly pumping the brakes,
correct.
The backlash that you get, it was, in fact, Drew was co-hosting your afternoon show, right? Right. I don't think it was during the Jeffrey and Friends era, but at one point he was co-hosting your show or my show or something. And he said something like, he just asked the question, are we getting ahead of ourselves on Gigi Jackson? And he immediately got blasted as a hater.
Yeah, I had to explain to Drew that I think that was his first foray into that. I figured this out back in February or, you know, sometime earlier in the season where I was asking the questions like, when what we're watching is in a lot of games that are meaningless and he's able to be the focal point of the offense, it's like, I've seen everything I want to see to go, I believe that his skill set very much could be a great player, but it's going to be so much different, I think, this year.
Yeah, so I'm not going to turn around now and one bad summer league game say, you know, but it was a bad summer league game. I mean, just astonishingly, 0 of 10 from 3. A 6 of 20 overall, would not stop chucking. And by the way, not great shots.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, there was like one where
just
he like...
looked, yeah.
There was like wide open... There were two guys that were wide open for like easy, easy jump shots, and he tries to take like a turnaround fadeaway, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
You got the sense that he thought to himself, I have to come in and prove I am the player that I showed I was last year, right? And he looked rushed in everything he did. He looked he was exactly the gunner from South Carolina who fell to the second round. You know, that's what he looked like last night.
To me, I think
just one night. I'm not drawing anything from it. You just want to tell him. I'll tell you what actually surprised me. What surprised me about it was you would think that Gigi Jackson would know going into this year that his goal is to prove now he can be effective in limited minutes, playing efficient basketball and doing the kind of things that he will have to do to be part of to be lower down in a 10-man rotation. And obviously the summer league's different. But still, you don't need to prove you can take, you know, all the shots, right? Like that's, and so I was a little bit surprised by the lack of self-awareness of his situation and what this season, the opportunity that is before him, this situation that last night's game looked like to me. I guess that's what I was surprised by.
Yeah, I do totally agree with your point that it felt like the entire game he was just trying to do too much. The one thing, though, that I would say in the positive to the Gigi Jackson cult that's out there, despite being 0 for 9 or whatever he was, when he took that corner three, I thought it was going in at the end of the fourth. Or I'm sorry,
and that sort of confidence is you know you want a guy to take threes, you want, and he will. And again, like we talked about this, like some of last year's, ascendance was because he shot better as a Grizzly than he literally had ever had before, either as a member of the Hustle or in college or whatever else. And so you're one, like so much of basketball and how we perceive things is whether shots go in, right? Now, it wasn't all that last night because, again, it wasn't great shots. But last year, his shots were going in. And he will not, you know, he's not going to go over 10 from three very often. So, but he will put up 10 threes a lot if given the opportunity. Jason March did acknowledge that he said this is what he said about Gigi Jackson. We as a group want these guys to shoot the ball with confidence. You have to be willing to shoot the ball if you're open. GJ may be a little different playing with the pass sometimes. I don't know what that means exactly. Gigi may be a little different playing with the pass sometimes. Like, maybe that means he should think about the pass sometimes. I'm not sure what that means. He is good
I took it as more catch and shoot rather than just creating shots, but I can see your way too.
He is good at getting in the paint and using his length. Gigi is such a great kid. He will be upset with his performance, I assume. I liked what I saw. He's not going to make shots every single game. Nobody is. So there you go. There's your wrap on game one. Grizzlies play the Sixers tonight, 6 p.m., also Salt Lake City. That game also on ESPN. And so our romp through Summer League continues. That game will feature David Jones, former Memphis Tiger, playing for the Sixers Summer League team. Drew has a story. Talked to David Jones as well yesterday for a story that you can read in the Daily Memphian. And David Jones, you know, he talked about, and we really haven't heard much from him since, you know, he made the decision to stay in the draft and then not be drafted and then ultimately sign the two-way with the Sixers. He said, and I don't think any of this was particularly surprising, but interesting. He said not only did he get no promise from the Sixers or anybody, he didn't work out with the Sixers.
Yeah.
So that was the part of it that might have been a little surprising. Like, he literally chose to give up the money that he would have gotten at the University of Memphis. We don't know exactly how much that is, but we assume it's an ample amount. And he ended up not with a team that he had even worked out for. So, like, it wasn't, hey, you know, if you don't get drafted, we're going to sign you because we worked you out. There was none of that. It was, I'm just going. And asked why he made that decision. He said, I felt like I was ready. That was it. I suspect, you know, you look back on that period where there was some, that last minute, last day push to get him to return. I suspect there was more to it than that, Jeffrey. Like, I don't know. What did you make of, I just felt like I was ready. And the fact that he went without any kind of promise, and not even with like a path paved to a particular team, because he hadn't even worked out with the team that he ultimately signed with.
Yeah, I just kept coming back to, when was the first time he was asked about next year? Like, I feel like it was like February, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Penny gave the optimistic answer, and then David was kind of asked the same question later, and he gave one of those answers. If you read it on paper, it really wasn't alarming, but his body language was like, man, I don't know. And I just kept coming back to the thought that sometimes you're just over a certain point in your life, and playing college basketball, I think probably for someone that doesn't grow up in America, like, your dream's probably not playing college basketball. It's probably playing professional basketball, and you might just decide, I'm ready to be done with it.
If you're a gymnast in LSU, is your dream to come back for a fifth year?
I mean,
Olivia Dunn will come back for her.
I mean, I think for Olivia year. Though, that's the only way to stay in the athletic
right.
spotlight.
She's not an Olympian. She's only 21, by the way. You know, it's not like she's a 25-year-old gymnast going back for another year at LSU. Seems like a good life. Anyway, all right, we got to take a break. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday on Tuesday. After that, I will remind you, if you need something framed, Frame Corner is the place to go. Custom framing. And I got an email from a guy who lives in Jonesboro. He came to Memphis Saturday because he'd heard of us talking about the Frame Corner. He said, I came with my grandfather's Arrowhead collection in hopes Frame Corner could help me with an idea how to display them. Barbara took me to a table, mapped out what colors I needed, what style of glass, what background fabric, many more answers on how to display this priceless collection. Nothing I asked for was impossible, and I left eagerly anticipating the finished product. I let her know that the Jeff Calkins Show led me to her fine establishment. Highly recommend. The Frame Corner is at 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station and the biggest name in the Mid-South online and on the phone thanks to Odyssey. The Odyssey app at 92.9ESPN.com. Smart speakers, simply say, play 92.9 ESPN. Thanks so much for making us Memphis's sports place. We wanted to build something special where you could come and listen, enjoy, and have some fun. It's a legacy of sports in Memphis. On the Odyssey app, say to your smart speaker, play 92.9 FM ESPN.
DQ presents... Picture this. Picture the DQ freezer, home to all the Blizzard flavors of the past. Picture it opening to bring back the salted caramel truffle blizzard for a limited time. Picture that salted caramel truffle blizzard in your hands. It's all yours. No, really, it's all yours. This treat is too good to share. Everyone will have to get one for themselves. Hurry in to get this flavor before the DQ freezer closes. DQ. Happy tastes good.
As school messes return, rest easy. Clorox has got your back to school.
Oh, no.
I'm back. That messy science experiment. And I brought baking soda, cornstarch.
And you're due tomorrow, right? Well, at least I stocked up on Clorox disinfecting wipes. Because you're not messing up my kitchen counters like last time.
Ooh, smart. Got any food coloring?
And off to the store we go.
Stock up on Clorox disinfecting wipes that clean three times better than wet paper towels and kitchen grease and soap scum. Use as directed.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? You've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of STP Full Synthetic Oil with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $29.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? X marks the spot. Now through July 25th, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract with Wi-Fi equipment included. And for just $15 a month, add the new stream saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix. All your favorites, all in one place, only from Xfinity. So go ahead and binge some shows, stream some movies, and save some money all at the same time. For more watching and less spending, X marks the spot. Switch to Xfinity, the network made for streaming, and bring on the good stuff. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Internet offer requires paperless billing and auto pay with store bank account, taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply, currently $56 a month. Plus Wi-Fi equipment, currently $15 a month. Actual speeds vary. Stream Saver requires Xfinity Internet or TV, and price subject to change.
Listen, we all love sports. That's why we're here. We love them so much, we never want them to stop. But before football cranks up, there are fewer and fewer games. FanDuel, however, lets you keep the sports going whenever you want. All you have to do is open that app up and dream up bets anytime you're in the mood. And this summer, FanDuel is hooking up all customers. That's not just new customers. That's all customers with a boost or a bonus daily. That's right. There's something for everyone every day, all summer long. It's over at FanDuel. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and start making the most of your summer. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expirations. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
How many Rock and Roll Hall of Famers have been on the Talk Is Jericho podcast with me, Chris Jericho? Well, gee, let's see how many I can name off the top of my head. Metallica, Kiss, Slash and Duff from Guns N' Roses, Angus Young, Brian Johnson from AC/DC, Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You want more? I got so many more, but I'm all out of time right now. So come rock with me, Chris Jericho, on Talk Is Jericho. Listen to and follow now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Once again, we got this straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday after that. Jeff, I got some other matters I do want to talk about in the world of sports. But a few things, first of all, not in the world of sports.
Okay.
One is, see Sean Jones. Were you aware of Sean Jones before last week? Do you know who Sean Jones is?
I do not.
Sean Jones is the Atlanta cop who was second in charge at the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so I did see the news yesterday.
That was a remarkable story. That Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian got. The deputy police chief for the city of Memphis. It's funny. We got a little bit of pushback on Twitter because the story said he lives in Atlanta. Right, that's what the story said. He's an Atlanta resident, so there he is making 179, I think, as the number two person at the Memphis Police Department, and he voted in person in Georgia in March and again in May, and then when asked about it, this was last week. When Sam wrote the story originally, when asked about it, the Memphis Police Department said, confirmed, Sean Jones' primary residence is still in the state of Georgia. So it wasn't, there's not actually much dispute that his primary residence, according to the Memphis Police Department, is in the state of Georgia. Now, was he here some? Sure, he was here some. And that's good. You would hope so. But anyway, this story comes out last week. Thanks to the good work of Sam Hardiman in the Daily Memphian. And yesterday they move in another direction. Let's just say, he is no longer going to be with the Memphis Police Department. Paul Young, and I would ask you how much credibility do you give this statement? Not due to issues or concerns about residency, says the mayor, Paul Young. We find out last week he's not a resident of Memphis. He loses his job this week. Mayor Paul Young says not due to issues or concerns about residency.
Didn't he also include he did a good job? Like, I thought I read another quote in Sam's
story.
Yeah,
he said he did important work, whatever else, we're moving in a new direction. You know, it's a lot like when you move on from your receivers coach or your offensive coordinator or whatever else.
He's still a great coach.
Great coach. We really appreciate all his work here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I mean, I would put very low credibility into it because it's either one of two things. It's either performance-related or it's the residency requirement, and the statement says, you know, hey, he was doing good work, so it's not the residency thing. It's not the residency thing. It's like, well, what is it?
Well, it feels like it is too coincidental for it to not be related to the residency thing. Doesn't it feel like it's a little bit too coincidental to not be?
And again, I want to be clear. I think the residency thing is an issue. Like, I don't want to act as
of course it's an issue. Right. That's just crazy. You can't live in Atlanta and be the... Listen, I had very mixed feelings about the... once upon a time, we used to debate whether first responders have to live in the city of Memphis, right?
Right.
And it was There was a legitimate debate about that. There were some people saying, listen, they're responding to the people of Memphis. They're paid by the people of Memphis. It's important that they live here, that they're invested in the community and that they understand, you know, that they're the neighbors with the people that they're saving or whatever else. Like, that's the one argument. The other argument is, you're out of your mind. We can't hire enough cops as it is. If they want to live in Olive Branch, let them live in Olive Branch, for God's sakes. They can, you know, maybe get a cheaper home or maybe live that. Maybe they perceive that area as being better for their kids or whatever else. Why would we exclude capable firefighters, police officers who happen to want to live in Millington.
Yes.
Right? Like then there's that argument. I don't think any of those arguments apply to living in Atlanta.
No, I mean, I think Sam said last Wednesday, whenever the state legislature took up the issue, it's something like if you can live within an hour or 2 hours of where you need to be, like, unless the deputy commissioner...
It's 2 hours. It's within 2 hours. And actually, if you catch the right flight, it's less than 2 hours. Let's be clear. That's not what anyone meant here. They meant living within 2 hours drive, not necessarily a 2 hour flight. And let's be honest, by the time you go through security, check in, all
the stuff. Unless he has a private plane.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, right. Unless he has a private plane and a drive and a landing strip in his driveway.
Right.
Here's what's weird. It turns out that the Chattanooga police chief, June of this year, June 25th, maybe, I think, also a former Atlanta cop, her name, Celeste Murphy, she resigned as the Chattanooga police chief. Guess why?
Because she still lives in Atlanta.
Because she still lived in Atlanta. Well, because she claimed residency on her tax forms in Georgia and then voter forms in Tennessee. It was unclear.
With Chattanooga, I mean, Chattanooga and Atlanta are only within 90 minutes.
The Times Free Press investigation found that Murphy claimed primary residences in both Tennessee and Georgia during her time as a police chief. Chattanooga City policy requires public employees to live in Tennessee. But what are the odds? People must really love Atlanta. Like they're getting their jobs in Atlanta. And whether you're a police chief in Chattanooga or in Memphis, or a second in command in Memphis, you're continuing to live in Atlanta. Anyway, story.
Does police hiring, do they have search firms as well? Because
I do think the fact that police are under such demand, it's like anything, right? If you are a computer programmer, I guess we don't need computer programmers anymore with AI. You know, it does it itself. But and you
well, say, who's going to program the AI?
You desperately need me, but I don't want to live in your city. I'll do it, whatever. And if you're desperate enough, you do wonder if there's some flexibility on hiring requirements about police, just because they're obviously critical, incredibly valuable, and in short supply. Speaking of jobs, the other news from the Daily Memphian that I was interested in is the Gigafactory. What's it called? Gigafactory of Compute?
XAI.
XAI Factory. Originally, the Daily Memphian had reported that there would be maybe 200 jobs, at least immediately, affiliated at that plant. Now it is up to 320, another 120 more. So that is good news. And then finally, this is a sports story. Ed Scott, we learned the contract details for the new athletic director at the University of Memphis, making $550 a year for 5 years. How does that strike you?
I mean, I think Laird at the end was maybe after that extension, wasn't he like 600 something? Like, to me, like that was a competitive, to me, like there was nothing that signaled, oh, this guy took it on the cheap. Like that to me seemed like the market rate for someone with his resume.
I'm actually surprised he's getting less. Like normally, I mean, I guess Ryan probably got less than Mike, you know, but Mike, by the time he left, you know, Ryan just like, I suppose, but doesn't the next guy normally make more? $550 a year. By the way, he gets another $200 a year, up to $200 a year, if he meets various goals. So now you're talking $750 a year. I mean, let's be honest. You can live pretty well on $550 a year in Memphis, much less $750 a year. He's got $50,000 to moving expenses, basically. Presumably, he's going to be, like the police, is going to be encouraged to actually live in Memphis. The most interesting thing...
Well, I mean, like, you know, like you think about it, sometimes it just kind of depends. But, like, obviously, Mike Elko's not making what Jimbo Fisher was.
Well, that's the thing. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And yet, if you swing big, and think of another example where a coach... You know, they take the big swing. Calipari was making more than
Dick Price. Lincoln Riley, when we saw Lincoln Riley's deal at USC, it's like, oh, that's why he went to USC.
Yeah, I think it all depends.
It was like $100 million over whatever, like 9 years.
So they obviously, the University of Memphis does have this priority of getting into a different conference. And so the way they phrased it, because it's he's going to get a bonus for, you know, getting into a Power 5 conference. But there is no Power 5, Power, like it all changes, right?
Right.
So it is to get into a conference with an automatic bid to the college football playoff. It is kind of an interesting thing. Like that is a ever-changing, ever-evolving standard, right? You could get into a conference. Like once upon a time, Memphis got into the Big East.
Yep.
At a time when Memphis had, when the Big East had an automatic bid to the college football playoffs, right? That was the, wasn't
well,
that?
To yes, the BCS.
That was, to the BCS, it was the BCS then. Yeah. But then immediately it went away. So
correct.
You do wonder, would they have gotten, was that RC? I guess that was RC.
Yes.
Would RC have gotten the bonus
it was
that
Fred.
Circumstance? Would you have gotten the bonus? Would you have gotten the bonus for that? You get into a conference.
Yeah, I mean,
with an automatic bid.
I think he would have gotten the bonus because it didn't dissolve until like the spring, the following spring.
So what is, I was a little surprised that the bonus for that, given that that's the holy grail for the University of Memphis, that the bonus wasn't bigger.
Well, let's be real.
$250.
If he does that, he's probably getting a new contract.
Well, that's true. And he's probably getting a new job. He's probably getting
a new job.
Contract.
But
let me ask you this.
But if he accomplishes all that, is there going to be anyone that's not going to thank him?
No one's going to begrudge him. No, absolutely. No one's going to. 100%. Here's 250 and here's 250 more. Right?
Yes.
Like, absolutely. Here's my question, though. If they get into a conference with an automatic bid to the college football playoff sometime in the next 5 years, will it be because of the work of Ed Scott? Like, how much will he have to do with that? It is. I ask that not skeptically one way.
No,
or another.
You ask it in the abstract.
I really am curious. How much?
Do I think he'll be the primary reason? No. Do I think there's a scenario where he gets the credit? Absolutely.
Well, Laird is getting the credit right now for, you know, for the NIL deal with FedEx and for the stadium and for whatever else. And we can't parse out how much credit he deserves for all of that. I do think this is true, that Ed Scott has to come in here and build on the momentum. And more to the point, he's got to execute. Like, I think Memphis has... You want to be perceived as a well-run athletic department if you're going to be, and that's not the most important thing, but it is a part of the thing. Like, he's got to make sure the stadium thing works, you know, make sure it's beautiful and that it works and that it's on time and that, there's not some fiasco. I think the other thing that is maybe a little under the radar and hopefully will stay under the radar, I do think that Memphis has been part of the struggle that Memphis has had getting into a Power 5 conference or a conference with a college football playoff bid, is that it's perceived as being a little shady.
It's always had the renegade program reputation.
100%. Yeah. And if something comes out with a basketball program in this academic scandal, that's not going to help matters. And I do think that how Memphis handles that, if there is something to handle, but how they take care of things from an enforcement perspective, just going forward, actually has some, in other words, maybe it's a little like, I don't think Ed Scott can't get Memphis into a Power 5 conference, but he can blow it. You know what I mean? If you let the athletic department go off the rails or you don't execute the football stadium thing or whatever else, I think you can harm your chances. I think the way an athletic director manages the athletic department can either take advantage of all the strength that Memphis has or can harm the chances that Memphis has.
So
does that make sense?
I think that was true 5 years ago. I'm not certain it's true today, because today it seems like all that really matters is
all that matters.
Are you going to be a valuable TV product?
But some of that depends on if you're a good football team.
I do agree with you on that. So it's like, I think what makes Ed Scott's job challenging is, if you and I were to sit down and come up with a list of, like, let's set the agenda of things that he needs to accomplish, do you really, like, have a great feeling of, like, where you should start? Because if you want to start with get into a power league, well, How much control over that do you
have? No, that you can't. I mean, I when they say the cliche thing, which is all we can do is be the best candidate, it is cliche, but it's also true. Like, what is he going to do? Is he going to appear on people's doorstep in the Power Five and say, let us in? No, he's going to build a football stadium, right? And he's going to do it as effectively as possible. And he's going to raise money for NIL in addition to the FedEx money for NIL so that the basketball and football programs, particularly the football program, can kick butt, right?
But then, you know, then there's the other complicating factor. It's like, okay, they have to raise, what is it, $25 million to unlock the Smith family?
Yeah, last we heard, it was another $27 million they needed in matching funds they needed to raise.
And then on top of that, like, you have to sell tickets. You have to sell the suites. You have to do all this.
No, he's got to do that. So that. But that's the thing. That's the day-to-day stuff that you have to do is stuff that you have to do anyway. But it also, if you have a full stadium, it makes you a better television product and whatever else. You also want a full stadium because you want to sell tickets and you want to get the money for ticket revenue. So I think really all he's supposed to do his job very well, which is promote the product, sell tickets, raise money, just all the normal stuff. And hope that gets you in. To the extent that any sales pitch will be made on behalf of Memphis, or any politicking, or any, you know, that kind of thing, I really think that's more the university president and Fred anyway.
Yes, you think? Yes, like, I would agree totally. I mean, but then, like, did you see yesterday? And again, I'm not faulting them because hey, you got to sell tickets any way you can. But did you see yesterday they're promoting a dynamic pricing? So if you buy a season ticket for $149, if other tickets aren't sold, you can get upgraded. Like you'll have your seat no matter what, right. But you'll get upgraded. But like that's kind of the other thing that I've really struggled with this year is, on the one hand, we keep getting told that the momentum for Tiger football is driving.
No, I've said this before. There's this abstract idea that there's momentum for Tiger football. And yet what you hear about ticket sales is that they're not great.
Nobody's voting with their feet. And right. Now I said this yesterday and I stand by it. When you get a big Tiger football crowd, it is a lot of walk-ups or, you know, it's casuals deciding to go, you know, day of game or, you know, maybe the day before the game. And so I'm not.
But your season ticket base does still matter, whether it's 17,000 or 10,000. You know, it's just how many, like, you're baking in smaller crowds if you have a sick. I mean, I'm literally pulling numbers out of thin air now. So, two other things, by the way, because we got to get to Chris Harrington in a minute. Two other things about the contract. One is there's a buyout that if he leaves prior to year two, does that mean literally in year one? I guess that's what it means. He will have to pay 70% of what remains on the contract. That's his buyout. So 70% of $550 a year over 5 years, or I guess four at that point. That's a substantial buyout for a AD. He's not going to be leaving in year one. Doesn't appear. 50% after that. So if he's been here 3 years, does a good job, and needs to get out and wants to get out, then he will owe, let's say there's two more years left on the deal, that's $1.1 million. He'll owe $550,000 buyout.
Does it say the time frame that the money's due?
Doesn't say how much it's paid over. The story of the Daily Memphian doesn't say that. It's possible the contract does. And then secondly, two cars and a membership to, I thought this was interesting, Colonial.
Hey, come on down, Ed.
What are you?
8:24 to 8:32. We'll Saturday mornings. We'll see you out there, buddy.
You are. Is it interesting that it's Colonial? I don't think you can get a Memphis Country Club. I don't think
Colonial has a big Tiger fan base,
right?
And our GM is a big Tiger fan.
I see. So that's where that comes from. Anyway, you'll see him over at.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.